Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
A quarter of a mile to go, and Life is Good has a 3.5 length lead. No one's coming close. Dream Shake on the inside, then Medina Spirit and the Great One, top of the stretch. Life is Good, 4-length lead. Now it's 5, and it's all Life is Good. He's passing this test with flying colors. Life is Good, unbeaten and untested as he romps in the San Felipe. Wins by about 8. Medina Spirit second, Dream Shake third, Roman Centurion, and then a photo between the Great One and None Above the Law.
Now, here's Bobby Newman.
Good evening, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts for September the 24th. Dave Friedman joining me this evening. We've got 13 races to get to this evening on the Weekend Stakes Preview. Dave, big day, biggest day of the year at Parks. Pennsylvania Derby Day comes up tomorrow. Biggest day of the year at Remington Park, Oklahoma Derby. Remington Park this Sunday. Of course, always action from other parts of the country, including Belmont Park, Churchill Downs, and even out of the country up at Woodbine. Are you ready, my friend?
Can't wait. 5 graded stakes at Parks, a couple at Remington, some big-time prep races at Belmont for the Breeders' Cup. Let's go.
Folks, don't forget, Belmont Fall is here. Week 2 is sure to be as exciting as the first, with races all weekend long, putting us on the edge of our seats. So have an extra $200 to get in on the action. That's right, Naira Betts is offering a $200 sign-up bonus for this historic fall meet at the world-famous Belmont Park. A 100% match on your first initial deposit, eligible up to $200. Just use the promo code HRRN200. That's HRRN200. Available nationwide. Sign up for Naira Betts at NairaBetts.com or download the Naira Betts app. And, of course, you can watch and wager on all the, or rather watch all the Naira action right on FS2. In fact, they'll be from 12:30 to 3:30 Eastern time on FS2 tomorrow. Then they go over to SNY from 5 to 6. Then Sunday, FS2 from 12:30 all the way until the end of the card at 6 p.m. Well, when we came onto the show, Dave, we heard the replay of this year's Grade 2 San Felipe at Santa Anita, won by Life is Good. That's the last time that Life is Good has found the winner's circle. He's had a lot happen since that win. He got injured shortly afterward, had to miss the Triple Crown races. He's moved from Bob Baffert's barn over to Todd Pletcher's barn, and he's moved from the West Coast to the East Coast, at least for the time being. Resurfaced in the Grade 1 Alan Jerkins at Saratoga last time out and looked like he was well on his way to a win, but was run down by the uber-talented Jackie's Warrior in a thrilling stretch duel that day. They were miles clear of everybody else. Shows up now facing his elders in the one-turn mile Grade 2 Kelso, Race 4 on the Saturday card at Belmont Park. And David Aragona thinks that he's going to win. He's laid him, believe it or not, 1-9 on the morning line.
Great morning line. It's 100% right. Life is Good is going to be an enormous favorite, a deserving huge favorite, and it's really hard to see much else. I think you bring up a great point. Facing elders for the first time, I'm just not sure any of these elders can run with a horse that was very likely on his way to being the Kentucky Derby favorite.
Simply put, it kind of looks like to me that not only is Life is Good, there's a very simple way, we joke about it all the time when it comes to handicap, when you ask somebody why they like a certain horse, he's just better than these horses. That it's simple. At basically every race he runs would beat this field. He's probably going to get the lead. He's probably never going to look back. He's won going further than a mile in the past, and this is a great tune-up for the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, where he is the early odds favorite, at least offshore, in those wagers. So it sounds like you like Life is Good. I like Life is Good. Listen, we're not convincing anybody of anything here. It seems like a free square. It's early in the card to try to keep this race out of, you know, the pick sixes and the late pick five, but it is start actually of a middle pick five tomorrow on the Belmont card. It's a mandatory payout pick five. They usually have two pick fives on the Naira cards, one early, the first five races on the card, one late, the last five races on the card. Sometimes on these bigger race days, they'll add a third one, and because it's not a wager that's offered every day, it automatically is a mandatory payout. And my guess is, Dave, most people are considering this a pick four, not a pick five.
Yeah, no question. The big difference is the takeout. The pick five takeout's only 15%, making it a much better play than a pick four. It's a free square. The problem is it doesn't help you in any way, shape, or form. If Life is Good wins, everybody's got it. If Life is Good doesn't win, you're busted out. But indeed, it's a pick four, and you don't need to spend any more money on it.
Okay, so Life is Good, going to be uber tough to beat in the Grade 2 Kelso, goes as the fourth race tomorrow at Belmont Park. We jump all the way to race number 10 for the Grade 3 Athenia, and this one not nearly as cut and dry as what we see in the Kelso. These are fillies and mares set to go a mile and an eighth on the turf. Purse is $200,000. By the way, can tell you, they were off the turf today at Belmont Park. Didn't have bad weather today, but they did have some bad weather overnight. So going to have to watch the weather. I don't think they're expecting a lot of bad weather going into the weekend, but this turf race, we'll see what the turf condition is for the Athenia. Once again, the fillies and mares going long. We do have a heavy favorite on the morning line, not 1-9, but 3-5 with number 4, Pocket Square.
Well, it's only a 5-horse field, and the two Chad Brown runners make a ton of sense, the favorite Pocket Square and Miss Tehran, the number 2 horse, and those are the two favorites in the race. I do prefer the favorite Pocket Square. I just thought the two races that horse lost, the Diana and the Just a Game against Altica and Summer Romance, facing much, much better competition, got down to a better, more appropriate level, and absolutely annihilated $100,000 optional claimers last time out at Saratoga. And that was a race that saw a reasonable but not a fast tempo by any stretch of the imagination. And Pocket Square was still able to come from behind and score without any sort of difficulty. The other Chad Brown runner, I think maybe pretty good, has been in against good, not great competition, has won 4 races and 13 career starts. A couple of those came before coming to this country 2 years ago, but I just haven't seen it against stakes competition yet, so I'm waiting for that. I think those two probably, if I were playing a pick five or a pick six, I wouldn't go more than 2 deep, would you?
No, and I may not even go 2 deep in this spot. I think Pocket Square lays over this field. I mean, what you said is right. Those two stakes races where she was in the grade ones against Altica and Summer Romance are just better fields than what she's going to see today. Yes, she dropped all the way down into higher level allowance races to win in her 2 wins here in the States. By the way, I don't think it goes without saying that those 2 wins were with Irad Ortiz aboard, and he sticks aboard this daughter of Knight of Thunder again. Listen, this is a grade 3 race. It's not the toughest grade 3 race we've ever seen. It's really no different, I think, than some of the higher-level allowance races she's been winning. Pocket Square deserves to be 3-5. I don't think we'll get 3-5 on her, but I think she's another one that is a free square if you're playing maybe late pick 5s or the pick 6 or the late pick 4. I think she's going to be too tough to beat. Pocket Square for me in the Grade 3 Athenia, 10th race tomorrow at Belmont Park. Mentioned earlier that tomorrow is the marquee day at Parks. There was a time earlier in the season, Dave, when they were actually thinking about running the Pennsylvania Derby and the Cotillion and all these great stakes races on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, which is their normal racing schedule right now. They've kind of gone the way of some of these other tracks like Indiana Grand and Turf Paradise and a few others that have decided that the simulcast money is so great and staying away from the New Yorks and the Floridas and the Kentuckys and the Southern Californias makes them, high atop the throne when they run on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. And it's worked out great for Parks. But I think in the end they figured this is such a big day and they have so many great races. They really want to give their local fans a chance to come out and join them. And you know what? It really is the marquee day around the country on Saturday. They've placed these stakes in a perfect spot. Lots of stakes races all up and down the Parks card tomorrow. We're going to start with race number 8. It's the Grade 3 $200,000 Greenwood Cup. These are three-year-olds and up, going a mile and a half on the main track. And we've got a big field for a mile and a half main track race. 9 of them set to go to post here. The morning line favorite is number 3, Moretti, who's coming off an effort in the Grade 1 Sword Dancer on the turf. That didn't work out very well. His previous tries on dirt, though, pretty good.
Yeah, I think there are 3 of them here worth considering. Number 2, Math Wizard for Safi Josephs and Rafael Santana. Moretti, you mentioned Pletcher and Luis Saez. And Seafoam, who Joel Rosario is riding and has a very intriguing 8-1 morning line. The thing is, Seafoam is going to run on the lead, and he has been running very, very well, though, against state-bred horses in New York, winning some of the stakes races at that competition. However, if you look a little bit closer at his recent races, I think he's been running with the bias. The win on July 30th was a sloppy sealed track. He won easily, which is great, but we know at Saratoga, sloppy sealed means you better be on the lead. And then the Evan Shipman last time out just got a nice, easy lead, didn't run particularly fast, and cruised home. I think today he sees a little bit more pace pressure, and I think he might be in against a little bit tougher horses. I wanted to really get behind Math Wizard, and coming off a third place effort at Saratoga in a stakes race last time, second off a layoff, I really like that. I'm not sure he wants a mile and a half. This is a longer race. That's a horse that's been running typically at a mile and an eighth, won the Pennsylvania Derby at a mile and an eighth at Parks at 30-1 last year. And that's why I ended up with Moretti, who is not a horse you love to back. You know he's going to be a low price, not exactly a win machine, hasn't won in 4 starts this year. But you toss the last on turf, and he's running in these mile and a half, mile and a quarter races. I think he's been running against a little bit better horses, and I trust Todd Pletcher and Luis Saez to know what they're doing and be in the right spot here.
I agree with you. I like Moretti. I don't love Moretti in this spot, but I do like the fact that he's versatile. He can show speed, but if there are other horses who have speed in the race, like Seafoam looks to have, Moretti has shown that he can pass other runners, and arguably he's as good, if not better, stalking than he is on the front end. Luis Saez has options with this Son of Medalla d'Oro. Both of us like Moretti in race number 8 at Parks, the Grade 3 Greenwood Cup $200,000 purse on tomorrow's card. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll head back out to Parks for some more great stakes action. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Live racing is back at Churchill Downs September 16th through October 3rd. With the same strong purses back from summer and 4 new stakes races, you won't want to miss live racing at Churchill Downs. With the win in your end Grade 3 Iroquois a Derby points race and Grade 3 Pocahontas an Oaks points race on September 18th, plus the new Bourbon Trail, Louisville Thoroughbred Society, Harrods Creek, and Seneca Stakes, this September meet is sure to be full of excitement. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit ChurchillDowns.com.
Watch and wager on world-class racing from Woodbine Racetrack with Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday post times at 1:10 p.m. Eastern and a Friday post time of 4:50 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget, on October 3rd, we have our Breeders' Stakes for three-year-olds foaled in Canada and our Grade 3 Ontario Fashion Stakes for fillies and mares. With racing now through December 4th and plenty of weekend stakes, you are not going to want to miss out on the action at Woodbine. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit Woodbine.com.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. In this week's edition, I take a look back at the racing career of Gallant Bob. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
Yo guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Three quarters went in 111, and Maracuja is now making her move on the outside, so it's three of them across. Malathot, Clarier, Maracuja on the outside, and there's 3/16 of the finish. Malathot digs down at the rail. Clarier's in between horses. Maracuja on the outside. Now a furlong to the finish in the Coaching Club American Oaks. It is Malathot. Here's a new challenge from Maracuja on the outside. Malathot and Maracuja, they will battle on to the finish in a terrific rendition here. And it looked like Maracuja got it, pulling off the upset over the odds-on favorite, Malathot. The time was 1 minute 49 and 1/5 seconds.
John Embriel on the call of the 2021 Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks, won in upset fashion by Maracuja. She figures to be one of the ones in the Grade 1 Cotillion tomorrow at Parks. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, Bobby Newman, and Dave Friedman here on a Friday evening, getting through 13 big races in North America this weekend. Right now, though, it's time for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Ah, we like these feel-good stories. Next Shares, Bordonero, newest additions to Old Friends. Grade 1 winners Next Shares and Bordonero are the newest additions to Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm near Georgetown, Kentucky. A Richard Baltus trainee, Next Shares raced from 2 to 8 and compiled a record of 7 wins, 5 seconds, and 5 thirds from 41 starts, earning us of just under $1.9 million. The gelded son of Arch Arch Arch, out of the stakes placed Evansville Slough daughter, Two Dot Slough, raced for multiple owners over the years. He was most recently campaigned by a partnership that included Debbie and Richard Baltus, Michael and Julia Ivorone, Jerry McClanahan, Jerry Peskoff, Richie Robershaw, and Mark Taylor. "We're so thrilled to have both of these wonderful athletes," said Old Friends founder and president Michael Blowen. "Richard really loved Next Shares and wanted to win the Old Friends Stakes because it gave him the option of sending him to Old Friends. And Bordonero's trainer Bill Spar, who trusted us with Amazombie, is a very special old friend." That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus, available through BloodHorse.com, provides exclusive content to subscribers, including a daily detailed stakes winner section, Fox Sports Blood Horse branded weekly program showcasing the thoroughbred industry's upcoming races and recapping recent stakes races, behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, on-demand access to deeper horse stats, and much more. It's the new Blood Horse Plus on BloodHorse.com. Upgrade today. Love those feel-good stories of when horses that we remember from past years get to go on and enjoy their retirement. You know, not all of them get to go on to be famous stallions. It's nice to see when horses that we remember for so many years go enjoy the rest of their life at Old Friends. And people can visit Old Friends. It's a great spot. Okay, let's get back out to the Rive Racing action, or rather the action at Parks. Once again, they've got their marquee event coming up tomorrow, and race 9 on the Parks card tomorrow is a good one. The $300,000 Grade 3 Turf Monster. Three-year-olds and up, going 5 furlongs on the turf. These races are always tough to figure out, Dave. Full field of 12 set to go to post here, and a wide open affair.
And this is the start of the mandatory payout Philly Big Five, their version of a rainbow-style pick five, which has the mandatory payout this Saturday. So really, really good news. If I have one thing I don't like about Parks, it's the takeout. But in the Philly Big Five, that's only a 15% takeout. And this, to me, is the key race in the sequence. There are a couple of short prices later in the card that I think you can hone in on and kind of lean on. I think you better work hard to find the winner of this race. There are three of them that I like best. The 4, Caratari, the 5, Fire Crow, and Caravelle number 8, who is the morning line favorite for Bobby Flay and Graham Motion, 5 for 5 at the 5 furlong distance. But I don't love girls running against boys. She did that last time out at Woodbine, fell short as a pretty big favorite. Not impossible, certainly will be on my ticket, but wouldn't be my key play, the girl running against the boys. Fire Crow is very, very interesting for Ron Moquette, who I don't think does his best work in turf sprints. This is a horse that's been running primarily on dirt, did win a turf race last time out in May at Pimlico. Hasn't been seen since, but training really, really well. If you go back in Fire Crow's form, he ran a turf race against Caratori, the 4 horse, back in November of 19. It might be the worst race Fire Crow has ever run, but Caratori got the job done that day, finishing 2nd behind Texas Wedge. And Caratori is the horse I like best. I just think most consistent of this group will be in the mix, but doesn't need the lead to win. And I was really impressed with the Troy Stakes last time out. Ran a career best figure, just missed Fast Boat at 24-1. In excellent form, training well. And I think Caratori, if you get anything close to the 9-2 morning line, is a great value here.
Okay, so number 4, Caratari for Dave in the Turf Monster. I went a little off the rails with number 1, Beer Can Man, for Mark Glatton, Flavian Pratt. And Flavian Pratt, to be perfectly honest, is one of the big reasons that I decided to go with Beer Can Man. This is a horse who, he hasn't faced the competition that some of these other ones have, but he's on his way up. He's very lightly raced. He's just a 3-year-old. Facing his elders for the first time, but he's 4 for 8, and I just think he's headed the right way. Started his career at Indiana Grand, moved over to Southern California. Mark Glatz having a fantastic 2021 season. Flavian Pratt always seems like he has great years. I think Beer Can Man can continue to improve, and if he gets the right trip, I think he can make have a say in this race at a decent price. He's 8-1 on the morning line. Goes as the 9th race, the Grade 3 Turf Monster tomorrow at Parks. Race number 10 on the Parks card tomorrow is probably going to yield, if not the shortest price of the afternoon at Parks, certainly one of them. It's the Grade 2 $300,000 Gallant Bob. These will be 3-year-olds sprinting 6 furlongs, and all eyes will be on number 7, Jackie's Warrior. He was able to get up and pass Life is Good in the Grade 1 Alan Jerkins last time out, and I think that field is tougher than what he's going to see tomorrow, Dave.
Yeah, and we heard Steve Asmussen say that he didn't want to wait for the Vosburgh in 2 weeks at Belmont. He wanted the spacing of this race, so he was very, very well rested going into the Breeders' Cup. He just towers over this field. And again, in a pick 5 or a pick 6, it looks like a free square. There's no value in it, but I'm not touching anybody else.
No, I agree. Jackie's Warriors 4-5. There's no chance that he will be as high as 4-5 in this race. You know, if you're thinking that you're going to get 4-5 on him, well, who else are they going to bet in this race? Maybe Real Talk, who's coming off a win in a smaller stake over at Monmouth Park, not nearly the kind of competition that he's going to see today. Speed figure-wise, there really isn't anybody close to Jackie's Warrior. Really is his race to win or lose. He's drawn well on the outside. 4-5 looks more like 2-5 to me. Jackie's Warrior for both Dave and myself in the Grade 2 Gallant Bob goes as race 10 tomorrow at Parks. Let's go to the Grade 1 Million Dollar Cotillion. It's the 11th race on the Parks program tomorrow. 3-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th here. There were 9 of them that entered. Number 7, Private Mission, did not make the trip for trainer Bob Baffert, so she is not running in the race. We're down to a field of 8. And it's a very contentious field of eight. There's some very, very talented fillies in here, Dave. Maybe not the most consistent fillies in the world, but fillies who on their day certainly have a big, big shot. We heard in the rejoin Maracuja beating Malathat in the Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks two starts back. She came back with a poor effort last time out in the Alabama. She's somehow 8-1 in this race, a filly who's already a Grade 1 winner and beat maybe the best 3-year-old filly in the country in Malathat. That's how tough a field this is. She's 8-1 on the morning line.
Yeah, you can go a lot of different ways with this one. Maracuja, what do you say about the Alabama last time out? If you want to excuse it because didn't get off to a great start, fine, but really showed nothing, just no punch at all down the stretch. If you're looking for a price, I think number one, Obligatory, is absolutely possible. I'm throwing out the last race. Bobbled out of the gate in the test stakes at Saratoga. Maybe he should have shown something, really didn't show a whole lot. But if you go back to the races in June and in the spring, very, very much in the mix from that Acorn, a second place result behind Search Results, and a win in the Eight Bells, rallying from way back at Churchill Downs back at the end of April on Kentucky Derby weekend. I also think number eight, Always Karina for Chad Brown, is really interesting. I'm not sure what the pace of this race is going to be. Chad Brown doesn't know whether this horse wants to run this long, a mile and a 16th, or not. But there could be an opportunity to go wire to wire with John Velasquez here. It's certainly among the possibilities. Went one turn, 7 furlongs last time out in the test. Didn't run particularly well. That was maybe a better field than this. But when it comes down to it, I think Clairiere is the most likely winner. Maybe this is the right distance, a mile and a 16th. Maybe she'd rather go a mile and an eighth, or even maybe a mile and 3/8. But I like the fact that she is just always there against top-notch competition. I think this might even be a drop in competition, honestly. Needs a little bit of pace, and that's why Always Karina potentially could get out on the lead and go, but I just feel most comfortable with Clairiere.
Okay, so the favorite, number 6, Clairiere for Dave. He also likes the 8, Always Karina, who certainly looks like a gate-to-wire threat in the cotillion. Clairiere finished 2nd to Malathat in the Alabama. Filly, who was 3rd in that race, Army Wife, is where I'm going to go, reunites with Joel Rosario. Joel Rosario has ridden this filly twice and ridden her perfectly in both starts. He was not aboard in the Alabama, and the fact is, it may not have mattered whether he was on board or not. I thought she had a decent trip. She moved early, made the lead, and just got outgunned late by Malathat and Clairiere. Still, Joel's back aboard. He knows how to ride her. I think she's going to get the same kind of trip Clairiere is going to get. So she may actually be in front of Clairiere and maybe closer to Always Karina in the early going, and maybe that will help her chances if the pace really isn't that fast. So 7-2 on the morning line for number 5, Army Wife. I'm going to try her in the Grade 1 Cotillion, race 11 on the Saturday card at Parks. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll head back out to Parks for their featured event of the season, the Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Nyra Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Nyra Betts. Sign up for Nyra Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Nyra Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Nyra Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NyraBetts.com.
Gulfstream Park's Flamingo Festival Meet is live now through November 21st with live racing Thursday through Sunday. Witness racing on both tapeta and dirt surfaces. Tapeta Racing offers a consistent and gentle racing ground for the thoroughbreds as they charge towards the finish line. Get ready for stakes racing action on October 23rd and 30th and November 5th and 6th. For schedules, dining reservations, or tips and analysis, visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Don't miss the Equine Forum every Saturday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on HRRN. Mike Penna brings you the latest in thoroughbred racing, featuring interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. Plus, exclusive segments you won't hear anywhere else, like In the Room with Sean Clancy, A Stroll Through Racing History with Kurt Becker, and I Ask, You Answer with Tim Wilkin and Dale Romans. The Equine Forum, the show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
The new leader is Midnight Bourbon with a quarter of a mile to go. Confronted by Hot Rod Charlie on the outside. Mandaloon Pink Cap following C at the rail. Here comes Hot Rod Charlie unleashed, and Mandaloon comes through with a smart move. And these two will fight it out. Hot Rod Charlie, oh, taking and losing the rider was Midnight Bourbon in mid-stretch. It's Hot Rod Charlie, Mandaloon, Hot Rod Charlie. Here's the line. Photo finish in the TBG.com Haskell. Very close between Hot Rod Charlie and Mandaloon. It was a long way back following C and Anti-Gravity. Losing the rider in mid-stretch was Midnight Bourbon.
An eventful stretch run of the 2021 Grade 1 Haskell at Monmouth Park. Hot Rod Charlie crossed the wire first. You heard there that Midnight Bourbon unseated the rider in the stretch. Stewards took a look at it, ruled that Hot Rod Charlie was at fault. He was disqualified from the win. Mandaloon moved up from second to first, and now the official winner of the Grade 1 Haskell. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, Bobby Newman, and Dave Friedman here on Friday, September the 24th. Folks, Belmont Fall is here. Week 2 is sure to be as exciting as the first, with races all weekend long putting us on the edge of our seats. So have an extra $200 to get in on the action. Naira Betts is offering a $200 sign-up bonus for this historic fall meet, a 100% match on your first initial deposit, eligible up to $200. Just use the promo code HRRN200. That's HRRN200. Available nationwide. Sign up for Naira Betts at NairaBetts.com or download the Naira Betts app. And, of course, you can watch all of the action all weekend long on both FS2 and SNY. Well, Dave, that certainly was a... exciting is not the word I'm looking for. Action-packed, eventful, several different ways you can describe the stretch run of the Haskell. Whatever way it was, Hot Rod Charlie crossed the wire first that day. He was disqualified and placed last for causing interference to Midnight Bourbon, forcing him to unseat jockey Paco Lopez in the stretch. Those two will renew acquaintances in the Grade 1, $1 million Pennsylvania Derby for three-year-olds at a mile and an eighth on the main track, goes as race 12 on the card tomorrow at Parks. Field of nine after the scratch of Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit, who did not make the trip. Hot Rod Charlie, who was 5-2 on the morning line with Medina Spirit in the race, more likely to be somewhere around 6-5 now that Medina Spirit isn't there.
I think Hot Rod Charlie is going to be, 3-2 or less. I think Midnight Bourbon will be somewhere in the neighborhood of 3-1. If you want to try to beat those two horses, Folsom or Keep Me in Mind, I'm going to need 10 or 15-1 to do it. It looks on paper like a two-horse race. And if you take only the race we listened to, the Haskell, it's pretty clearly Hot Rod Charlie. Midnight Bourbon was not going to win the Haskell. They clipped heels and Midnight Bourbon went down and Hot Rod Charlie got disqualified, right or wrong. That's a matter of opinion and perspective. But what Midnight Bourbon did responding from that race, going to the Travers and just missing Essential Quality by a neck, really makes me open my eyes and go, has Midnight Bourbon found something? Have they gotten to a point with this horse that it is now among that group that includes Essential Quality and Medina Spirit and Hot Rod Charlie. And the question is, or the answer is, we don't really know. It's a maybe. I generally like horses that have had more time off. Hot Rod Charlie hasn't run since the Haskell. I think Hot Rod Charlie is the most likely winner. But if you're looking for ROI, at 3-2, Hot Rod Charlie has to win this race more than 40% of the time they run in order to make him a good bet. And at 3-1, Midnight Bourbon has to win this race more than 25% of the time to make him a good bet. If you ask who's going to win the race, I take Hot Rod Charlie. If you ask who I'm betting on, probably Midnight Bourbon.
Okay, so you like the two favorites, Hot Rod Charlie and Midnight Bourbon. It's hard to dispute that. Let's take a quick look at one or two of the other ones in here and just get a quick thought on that. What about number two, Keep Me in Mind? This is a horse who is just one win in 11 starts in his career. He's always in and around the money. He's just never getting the lion's share. What has to happen for him to get the money in the Pennsylvania Derby?
Yeah, that's the problem. I'm not sure his method to win. Horse I've liked a lot. Horse I've bet on a bunch of times. And you always get a fair price. And he always finishes second, third, fourth. I think he's just a step below these.
Okay, and how about all the way on the outside, the New York bred by Constitution American Revolution? He has looked fantastic against state breds in his last few starts. He's very lightly raced, but he looks like he's getting better and better. And his regular rider, Luis Saez, is down for the ride.
He needs to prove it to me. I trust Todd Pletcher. I trust Luis Saez. But beating five horses at Finger Lakes at, 2-5, that doesn't do much for me. Comes back and wins a state bred race at Saratoga convincingly. Fantastic. But I need to see it against this competition. If it's not one of the two favorites for me, Folsom on the Rail for Brad Cox is the one I like best. A winner of 4 out of the last 5. Lost the Indiana Derby. Finished 3rd in that race as the favorite. But if you go back to the race at Churchill, the Matt Wynn, that's a really sharp effort. And you know he has it in him. That race might not do it here, though. He's probably, just like Keep Me in Mind, just like American Revolution, they're going to have to run a race that we have not seen them run yet.
Okay, that's the Pennsylvania Derby, a Grade 1 million-dollar event, marquee event of the park season. Goes as the 12th race on the card tomorrow.
Who do you like?
Let's head over to Churchill Downs and at Churchill Downs. Their featured race on the Saturday card is the $275,000 Grade 3 Dogwood Stakes. 3-year-old fillies here going 7 furlongs on the main track. Field of 7, and we've got a heavy favorite on the morning line here in number 2, Caribbean Caper.
Yeah, I think there are a number in here that we can look at, and we will in a second, but who did you pick in the Pennsylvania Derby?
I picked Hot Rod Charlie, but it's okay. Not a race. I don't have very much conviction in that race. Just because it's a huge race doesn't mean I have to bet more money. You know, the tickets cash the same whether or not you're playing a 4-1 shot in a Grade 1 race or a 4-1 shot in a 5 claimer. And I just don't have a very strong opinion in the Pennsylvania Derby. I think Hot Rod Charlie is the best horse, so I'm going to put him on top. But it's not a race I love. I may use 2 or 3 in there.
Fair enough. In the Dogwood, I need to see Caribbean Caper beat good horses before I take even money. I respect Al Stahl, 4-for-4, can't argue with that. I think he's in against, or she's in against, a little bit better this time. And I'm going to go with Lil Tootsie, number 3, for Tom Amos. I thought that third place effort last time out at Saratoga in the Prioress was really good against a pretty darn good field. The race before that is a toss on turf. The race before that at Indiana is a 2-turn race. And you go back to the race at Churchill on May 31st, and it was a winner. I think Lil Tootsie is working well and will perform well in this spot. But this is a pretty open event.
It is, but I think Lil Tootsie's been facing much better as well. And I just think that those fields that she's really not running poorly against are just head and shoulders better than what she is going to see tomorrow at Churchill. I don't dispute that Caribbean Caper is a nice filly. She's beat everything that they've put in front of her. She's never beaten this caliber of field. Maybe she'll do it. I'm with you. I'm not interested in even money. I like Lil Tootsie as well, 3-1 for Tom Amos and Jimmy Graham in the Grade 3 Dogwood Race 8 on the Saturday card at Churchill Downs. Let's head north of the border, our only time heading north of the border this weekend, and they've got a graded stakes on Saturday as well up at Woodbine, the Grade 3 $150,000 Bold Venture Stakes, three-year-olds and up, sprinting 6.5 furlongs, and without even looking at the entries or the PPs, when you're thinking of three-year-olds and up sprinting up at Woodbine, there's only one name comes to mind, at least in the last several years, and that is Pink Lloyd, and he's back in. Pink Lloyd is a horse who has run in this race and won this race in the past. In fact, he's run in the race several times in the past. Now, I'm not really sure Pink Lloyd is as good now as a nine-year-old as he was as an eight or a seven or a six or a five-year-old. Now, you could say that maybe he's as good, but he's running into a horse named Super Stonehenge the last two times that is just better than he is. I happen to think Pink Lloyd has lost a step or two. That being said, Super Stonehenge is not in this race, and most of the races Pink Lloyd would run would beat this field. He's 4-5 on the morning line. I think that's where he's going to be, and I think he gets back to the winner's circle in the Bold Venture. How do you see it?
Well, I think I agree with a lot of what you said, except the conclusion. I'm not taking 4-5 on that horse, though. I give Robert Tiller, the trainer, a lot of credit. I think entering a rabbit and reconfigure makes a lot of sense here to make sure that you have some sort of pace for Pink Lloyd to run into. I ended up with Lucky Curlin for Mark Cassie. I just think second off a layoff, second as a four-year-old, you might just have a horse on the rise, a horse improving. I recognize this might not be the best distance, might not even be the best surface, but I really liked that effort after he had been off for 8 months or whatever it was last time out. And a four-year-old that's getting better against a nine-year-old that's getting worse, I'll take my chances, particularly when you give me the better price.
Okay, so Lucky Curlin for Dave in the Bold Venture. Second choice on the morning line with Antonio Gallardo aboard. He is 2-1. I went with the old-time favorite Pink Lloyd. Listen, I don't know how many races Pink Lloyd has left. He's a gelding. He's near the end of his nine-year-old campaign. He's a horse who's won 26 times at Woodbine. That's almost as much as the entire field combined lifetime wins. I know he's not the same horse that he was over the last several years, but he's still pretty good. You know what? This may be one of those things where if he doesn't beat this field, maybe they decide that it's finally time for Pink Lloyd to step away. If he does beat this field, I don't know. Maybe he's got another race in him. You know, he's a horse that tends to run just at Woodbine. In fact, he's never raced anywhere but Woodbine on their main track, so it's not like he goes somewhere else for the winter. You know, this probably is it. We're nearing the end of the season up north in Canada. They don't run when it's snowing there during, you know, December, January, February. So I don't know if he would come back as a 10-year-old. I hope he goes out as a 9-year-old on top. I don't know if it's his last race, but I'm going to pick him in the Bold Venture. Pink Lloyd, the Bold Venture, goes as race 9 on the Saturday card at Woodbine. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we've got 4 stakes on Sunday to look at. 2 at Belmont, 2 at Remington Park. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
The thrill of thoroughbred racing is back at Laurel Park. The brand new dirt surface and world-class turf course are ready for the races. Spend an afternoon dining with someone special at your choice of restaurants. Grab a bite with friends at the food court or relax and enjoy racing action from around the world in the sports bar. Laurel Park has it all. The beer is cold, the action is hot, and the horses are fast. Nothing beats a day at the track. Live racing Thursday through Sunday, post time, 12:40 p.m.
Racing fans, make plans now to join us for the best racing in America next Friday, October 1st, opening day of Santa Anita's 16-day autumn meet. We'll have four stakes as some of the best horses in the world prepare for the Breeders' Cup World Championships, including in the Grade 2 $200,000 Eddie D Stakes, which will be contested at 6.5 furlongs down Santa Anita's Camino Real Hillside Turf Course. Also on opening day, we'll honor Santa Anita's recently retired 100-year-old legend, John Shear. Parking and admission are free on opening day, so come join the fun with first post time at 1 o'clock. Walk-up admission is once again welcomed, and we'll have Breeders' Cup winning year-in racing throughout opening weekend. Santa Anita's $5,000 online Showviver is back, and you can also take a shot at a prize pool of $12,000 in our new Pick'em game by choosing a series of racing and sports props at santaanita.com/contests.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the Conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRRN.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
A quarter of a mile left to travel, and Mr. Wireless and Star and In My Dreams are first and second, and Folsom's got Dead Aim on the outside in third and about two lengths off the lead. They run down to the final furlong. Mr. Wireless on top, Star and In My Dreams shaken up, Folsom's outside, and then it's Sermon on the Mount, but with a 16th to go, it's Mr. Wireless. Mr. Wireless scampers clear to win the Indiana Derby by five impressive lengths. Sermon on the Mount second. Folsom might have gotten third over Starring in My Dreams. The time for the mile 16th, 142.84. It's Mr. Wireless for trainer Brent Calhoun in the Indiana Derby.
Bill Downs on the call of the 2021 Grade 3 Indiana Derby, won by Mr. Wireless, who figures to be one of the favorites in the Grade 3 Oklahoma Derby this Sunday at Remington Park. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman taking you through our final segment now on this week's edition. And we've got four Sunday races to look at, Dave. A couple at Belmont Park, a couple at Remington Park. So we'll start at beautiful Belmont, where race four on the Sunday card is for New York-bred two-year-olds going in the Bertram Bongard Stakes. The purse here is $150,000. They'll go seven furlongs on the main track. A short but sweet field of five and a lot of speed signed on in the Bongard.
I think you can argue for each of the five horses. And what I wrote on my form is find a price. Look for a number in here because you can really go with any of them. That there's a logical reason to like anyone. I ended up with Shipsational number one. I thought that his debut win was terrific and came back in the funny side where he faced two horses that he's facing again here in this race and just got out really poorly and then kind of was out of the race, rallied a little bit, didn't run great, but I think next time out was a horse that I wanted to look at and thought maybe I could get value on, working very, very sharply for Edward Barker. But you could argue for Send B for Christophe Clement, who's 2-for-2 and beat Shipsational last time out. In that funny side, Happy Hour B is a maiden, 0-for-2, but I thought kind of re-rallied in that funny side and performed well down the stretch to finish third. I think you could make a good argument for all of them, and I would want a price here.
Well, I went kind of the same theory as you, but with a different horse. There was enough speed in the race that I wanted somebody who maybe had a chance to pass other horses. I think Surprise Boss is going to go to the lead. I think Senbei is going to be forwardly placed. Whittington Park, I don't know if he's fast enough to challenge for the lead, but I think he'll be forwardly placed. So it came down to Shipsational and Happy Happy B for me, and I went to the maiden, Happy Happy B. Yes, he is a maiden. He is facing winners. He faced winners last time as well in the funny side. He was not disgraced by Senbei and those others in there. I like his post. I like the pace scenario. I love the fact that Jose Ortiz is getting aboard for the first time on this Deodoro trainee. I'm going to look for Happy B to continue moving forward as far as his talent level and progression and maybe get a pace to run at. I will try him. I'm not going to say it's an upset, but he certainly won't be the favorite. I'll try Happy B to win the Bertram Bongard goes as race four on the Sunday card at Belmont Park. Fast forward all the way to the ninth race on the card at Belmont, and the featured event of the afternoon is the $250,000 Grade 2 Gallant Bloom Handicap for fillies and mares, sprinting 6.5 furlongs. Another short but sweet field of five here, Dave. And you've got Bella Sophia, 3-year-old filly, who's back facing her elders today, fresh off a resounding win in the Grade 1 test against 3-year-old fillies at Saratoga last time out. She's already won at Belmont. She's already faced elders and won. She's drawn down toward the inside. That may be her only knock. She's a logical favorite in this spot.
I think it's a two-horse race. Bella Sophia is very, very good, 3-for-4 a lifetime, and took a 2 search results last time, impressively at the Spa. But I'm a huge fan of Lake Avenue for Bill Mott and Godolphin. 3 consecutive runner-up performances, but runners-up to Gamine, Bell's the One, and Estelio Tentoso has won races, not at this level, not at the graded stakes level, but has won stakes races, did win a graded stakes back at Aqueduct in 2019. Very, very sharp. I think going down in class significantly. It looks like you're going from a grade one to a grade two. Other than Bella Sophia, that this isn't much of a field. And I think Lake Avenue could be a nice price as a second choice in a field that I think there are only 2 of them.
I agree with you. I think Lake Avenue is where I want to be in this spot for everything you said. I think she's been facing tougher. She's another one who gets a rider change to Jose Ortiz, and I think that could be a big difference maker for this daughter of Tappet. Listen, she was good enough to be within 2 lengths of Gamine. That's good enough to win just about any filly and mare sprint there is in the country. And you know what? Gamine isn't in this race. Lake Avenue for both me and Dave in the Grade 2 Gallant Bloom $250,000 race goes as the ninth on the card Sunday at Belmont Park. Well, mentioned earlier that Sunday is a huge day at Remington Park. It's really their marquee day. They've got stakes all up and down their Sunday program, Dave, and we're going to take a look at a couple of them, starting with race number 8. It's the $200,000 Grade 3 Remington Park Oaks for the 3-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on the main track. We've got a field of 7 here, a lot of very, very talented runners. The morning line favorite is number 1, Pauline's Pearl, coming off a couple of in-the-money finishes at Charlestown and Prairie Meadows, her last 2. She actually ran a decent race in the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks prior to that, drawn well toward the inside. She makes sense as the favorite, but she certainly doesn't lay over this field.
I just don't think she's beaten anybody that makes me abundantly confident. She fits for sure and may win, and you have to respect Asmussen and Santana and Stonecrest. I'm just not, like, blown away. Very, very viable for sure. The number 7, Lady Mystify, coming in from Southern California for Peter Yurden and Flavian Pratt, going to show speed in this race. The figs are low, but I'm interested. Throw out the last bled in that race prior to against not a whole lot. Were really, really good. But the one I like best is Amendment 19 for Brad Cox. You don't know, first time trying 2 turns, but I think the last race, a pretty good second at Saratoga. It says it's an allowance race, but it's a $100,000 allowance. Non-winners have won other than a maiden lifetime. That race came back reasonably well, and that's where I'm going. Brad Cox, first time training, 26%. Horse coming out of a race, Saratoga. I feel best about Amendment 19.
Okay, we're on the same filly once again. Amendment 19 for me, for everything that you said. Listen, I don't think she lays over this field, but I think she has more upside than just about everyone because she only has 3 races lifetime. She goes from one very good barn to another, from Linda Rice to Brad Cox. But being by constitution, I don't think the mile and a 16th distance will hurt her in any way. She's kind of got breeding where she's bred more for a route on the top side and more for a sprint out of a Carson City mare on the dam side. Well, she's run pretty well at 6 furlongs, 7 furlongs, and a one-turn mile thus far. Trying 2 turns for the first time, yes, there are question marks, but I believe in her. I believe in trainer Brad Cox, and I certainly believe in jockey Joel Rosario. 7-2 on the morning line. I think that's a fair price for Amendment 19. We both like her in the Grade 3 Remington Park Oaks Race 8 on the Remington card this Sunday. The marquee event on Sunday at Remington Park is the Grade 3 Oklahoma Derby, race number 11, $400,000 on the line, three-year-olds going a mile and an eighth on the main track. A field of 8 here, Dave, and several different ways you can go. They actually have 3 Derby winners who showed up in the Oklahoma Derby. Superstock, who won the Arkansas Derby, Warrant, who won the Texas Derby, and Mr. Wireless, who's a 2-time Derby winner. He won the Indiana Derby and the West Virginia Derby. Do you think it's one of those previous Derby winners who gets the job done in Oklahoma?
No, I'm against all 3 of them. I'm not huge on winning Derbies at smaller tracks against lesser competition by and large. Now, some of those races attracted pretty good fields, but the 2 I'm most interested in, and if you've been listening to this whole show, thank you and congratulations, and we apologize for giving out a bunch of 3-5 horses and 2-1 horses, but we're trying to find some prices. Sometimes the form doesn't allow you to pick them. I think this race does. I'm interested in both the 5 Team Merchants for Doug O'Neill, 6-1 on the morning line, and Defeater, 12-1 for Tom Amos, second off a layoff, and ran, I thought, a pretty good race to finish second at Saratoga last time out. My top pick is Team Merchants, though. I thought coming from Southern California, that one looks to have been running against very, very strong competition, losing to Medina Spirit and Rock Your World last time out. You go back to the race 2 back, a good win. Now, we don't really know going 2 turns, but I think he's been facing a lot better. Quite honestly, I think Defeater has been facing better too, and those are the 2 that I'm going to try to make some money with, but Team Merchants on top for me.
Okay, I went to the 2-time Derby winner, or rather, I went to horse who beat or was defeated by the 2-time Derby winner, Mr. Wireless, number 3, Warrant, to turn the tables on him. He beat Mr. Wireless in the Texas Derby, then ran second to Mr. Wireless last time out. Joel Rosario, who was aboard him for the win, was not aboard for the defeat. He's back aboard Sunday at Remington Park. That may be the difference. I'm going to try Warrant in the Grade 3 Oklahoma Derby, race 11, on the Sunday card at Remington. All 13 races are in the books. It's time now for the Naira Betts Best Bet.
This is the Naira Betts Best Bet.
All right, Dave, take it away.
Well, I think Life is Good is going to win the Kelso. I think that one's pretty easy. I think Jackie's Warrior is going to win the Gallon Bob, but neither of those make you any money. So a horse that might actually make you money, Lake Avenue in the Gallant Bloom at Belmont Park on Sunday. Second choice, but I think you're going to get an okay price, a 2-1, a 5-2. And quite honestly, I think Lake Avenue is the best horse in that race. So you can take a free square. Life is Good's going to win. Jackie's Warrior's going to win, or it sure seems likely. But Lake Avenue, I think, is the value pick in these 13 races.
All right, I went with the same methodology as you. I'm not looking to give out the most likely winner. I'm looking for the best bet. And I went to the Grade 3 Dogwood Stakes on Saturday at Churchill, race number 8. Number 3, Lil Tootsie. I just think she's been facing better fields than what she's going to see at Churchill Downs. She is not favored on the morning line. She's 3-1. We'll see if she gets the job done for Tom Amos and Jimmy Graham in the Dogwood. Number 3, Lil Tootsie for me. Well, that'll wrap up this week's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Don't forget, the show that launched the network, the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine, back on track tomorrow morning here on HRRN, 8-11 Eastern Time. Owner-trainer Brandon Greer joins Mike Penna, looks back on his big win in last Saturday's Woodbine Mile. Owner Patrick O'Neill discusses their Pennsylvania Derby morning line favorite, Hot Rod Charlie. Trainer Rob Attriss talks about Maracuja in Saturday's Grade 1 Cotillion at Parks. National NBPA CEO Eric Hamelback looks ahead to this year's claiming crown at Gulfstream Park. Plus, National Farm Manager of the Year Dermot Ryan of Ashford Stud. Today's first bet in the room with Sean Clancy. A stroll through racing history with Kurt Becker. And I Ask, They Answer with Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin. Another power-packed edition of the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine tomorrow here on HRRN from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That'll wrap up tonight's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. On behalf of our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Dave Freeman, I'm Bobby Newman. Hope everyone has a great weekend. I hope everyone has a lot of winners, especially if it's including Dave and myself, because, you know, this is about us. We want to make some money, too. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.